So I will speak about some joint work with David Gatner. But I should also say that much of this is based on, so much is based on a sketch given by Jacob Louis. 13 years ago. So Jacob Louis, for 13 years ago, a survey of elliptic cohomology, where he sketches a theory of equivalent elliptic cohomology with integral coefficients, among other things. And part of what my talk will do today is report on my joint work with David Gatner, where we found a way to kind of fill in the details. And yeah. But I will first start, before I look at any of the equivalent elliptic cohomology, with two conventions. So first of all, I will use the symbol T for the group S1, and I will focus mostly on equivariance with respect to the group T to make things as simple as possible. But this is not completely necessary. And the other thing is, I will drop in the notation some finite examples. So in doubt, all T spaces are finite TCW complexes. So if you don't know what this is, so you can just say, for example, every compact manifold with a T action will be fine by theorem of Ilm. Okay. So before I say something about equivalent elliptic cohomology with integral coefficients, let me say something about the situation of the complex numbers, which is more classical. So this was first defined by Groinowski, and defined by Horseshoe and many other people. So these people defined, in particular, for every complex elliptic curve, E functors from T spaces to coherent sheaves on E. So if you're not familiar with coherent sheaves, so this is vector bundles would be examples of coherent sheaves. This is generalization of vector bundles. And to be honest, I should say these are contravariant, and I have one for every I. So, and these satisfy the axioms of an equivariant cohomology theory. So in particular, you have homotopy invariants, and you have the usual long exact sequence you might expect from a cohomology theory. So note that coherent sheaves form an abelian category, so there's no problem with that. So this is the first thing one can do oversee. But there's a second perspective. I'm not quite sure who did this first, but I should say, I mean, this whole theory has been elaborated upon by many people. So this has been elaborated upon by many people, say Resk, Kitschlu, Spong, Berwick Evans, and Kripathy. So, and I'm not quite sure, I would say this may be appeared explicitly only in one of the work of one of these people, that we can also take E to be the universal complex elliptic curve. Or the orbifold quotient as the upper half plane and quotient the SO2Z here. So we also denote this by MLC to say it's a modelized stack of elliptic curves over complex numbers. But so if you're not familiar with stacks, you can just take it as an orbifold if you want. So every arbitrary elliptic curve over complex numbers will be a fiber of this. Okay. And one remark I want to make is this has been used, among other things, in geometric representation theory. And this was the original motivation by Gronowski. Gronowski and also of Ginzburg. Kapanov, Festerow. I'm not an expert on this, but as far as I understand, was used to construct representations of elliptic quantum groups and was used to define other kind of elliptic algebras, like elliptic Hecker algebras and their representations. And I should name many more names, which are more recent, like paper by Yang Zhao, paper by Zhao Zhang, paper by Felder, Rimani, and Vachenko, or by Aganagic and Okunko. So there are a lot of names I could name here. But if you have any questions about this, you should ask the experts who wrote the papers, because some of them are here and they know much, much more about this. Okay. So in my naive understanding, even in, from the perspective of geometric representation theory, it can be pleasant if your things are not just defined over complex numbers, but have a more integral basis. And this is one motivation why we don't want to restrict ourselves to elliptic curves over complex numbers, but also want to do it with integral coefficients over the integers. So a note above, I've given two perspectives. Either we have the elliptic curve over the complex numbers, or we have the universal elliptic curve. So first I should say one can, so I guess everybody knows what an elliptic curve is over the complex numbers, but I want to stress one can define notion of elliptic curves, an elliptic curve over more or less any base, by which I mean over any commutative ring, or if you are into this any scheme, or we can also do it over stacks and so on. So there, in algebraic geometry, this notion which exists in a lot of generality. So the analog of perspective one might be to place elliptic curve over C with an elliptic curve over the integers. So unfortunately, this comes with several problems. So I will address kind of a further one later, but just let me mention here one form which already indicates that this might be problematic, namely there are no elliptic curves. Over the integers. So this is already a bad sign. So just to give a perspective on this, because this might be surprising, so an elliptic curve must be smooth. So, and it's smooth over the integers, must be smooth after reduction modulo p for every p, and then you can make an argument that this is just not possible. I mean, you can replace z by some other things, then it would exist, but not over z itself. So we rather take, analog of perspective two. So we want to work directly over the universal base. So work with the universal. Curve. Let's call it curly. Make sure that's more fancy. Or what I call MVLL, and this is the model I stack. Elliptic curve. So I'm afraid this cannot be so simply viewed as an orbifold anymore. But for the moment, if you're not so familiar with this, you can just accept that such a gadget exists. And every elliptic curve over any possible base is pulled back from this universal elliptic curve. Okay. So let me give one theorem. One can do there. And let's call it theorem because, as I phrase it, you could just also take the zero functor, and this would be not so interesting. So there is maybe I should give an attribution. So originally this was proven by Jacob Lewy, but this also is one thing which appears in my recent paper with David Kaplan. So there is an equivariant elliptic, equivalent cohomology theory. So it's elliptic, but it's not part of the theorem. Theory, which goes from T spaces up again. So it's covariant. Now to Korean sheaves on E. So the form of the theorem is exactly the same as before, only that now we don't work over the complex numbers, but we work directly over the universal guy without restrictions characteristics. Okay. So as I said, from the way I phrased the theorem, this might be just the zero functor. So let me give some examples of values. So the point is sent to the structure sheaf. So this would be the sheaf of holomorphic functions. If you have an elliptic curve over just the complex numbers, then this is what's called the structure sheaf in this context. So if you have some experience in equivariant homotopy theory, you know it's always important to say where the orbits go. So this would be an orbit, namely it would be T mod T. So I should also tell you where the other orbits go. And I will first say something which is you have to take with a grain of salt, and then I will be more precise. So this thing is given to the push forward of the structure sheaf, the end torsion along So how should you think about this? So the end torsion, so the elliptic curve in particular is a group structure. So for example, if you think about this in the complex world, I would have my fundamental parallelogram and say this would be the two torsion points. And this push forward I've written down should be thought of as a skyscraper's sheaf. With this concentrated at finitely many points. So situation is slightly more complicated if we work in this setting maybe, but this is the intuition you should have. And why did I say that you should take this with a grain of salt? Because it's really going to this up to isomorphism, but maybe not to up to canonical isomorphism. So more precisely, work with homomorphisms from the Pontryagin dual of Z mod n to the elliptic curve. So the n torsion would be the homomorphism from Z mod n to the elliptic curve. Let me write this down instead of hom Z mod n to e to the n tau. So this, of course, isomorphic, because the Pontryagin dual of z mod n is isomorphic to z mod n, but maybe not canonically isomorphic, if you want. Okay, and then maybe a last example. So of a more non-trivial T space, we can take the complex numbers and one-point compactive. So okay, this is not the same. Maybe we don't use this notation because it's not a Pontryagin dual. If this is a one-point complication of C with the canonical U1 action, and this goes to the structure sheaf, but we take a certain, not quite a structure sheaf, so a certain nine bound corresponding, we demand that we have zero at the zero section. Okay, so are there any questions about this part?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. And then there is a question from Domenico about where does the universal space ET to BT go?
So it goes to the formal completion. At the unit section. So you might see it as take the unit section and form a power series ring. Okay, further questions? So making one further remark, which has something to do with an analog of the first root perspective. So say is any is an elliptic graph. Over any base. E.g., you could take elliptic perfect characteristic P here. Then we obtain a classifying map F so that E is exactly the pullback, the universal elliptic curve. So what I can do now. Go from T spaces up first to coherent sheaves on the universal elliptic curve, and then pull back coherent sheaves on S. So, e.g., for not S, sorry, I should concentrate a bit more. So, E. So, this is in general. No longer the cohomology theory as F of a star is not exact if F is not flat. So there's some functor I can write down, but long exact sequences won't be preserved in general. Okay. So now I want to say something about enrichments of the story. One reason is this is because how one actually constructs the whole thing. So let me go one step back. So for example, in the approach of Berwick-Evans and Tripathy, one obtains the this elliptic cohomology functor EIT in a two-step process. So where E is universal elliptic curve. Over the complex number. So we go from T spaces so we want to go to Courier sheaves over E. We first go to sheaves of chain complexes. So on this chain complex are the complex numbers. So actually it also takes values in CDGAs, but maybe that's not so important right now. So, and then here, I can take cohomology, and here, I have kind of a more fancy version, which takes values in chain complexes. So, if I want to work with integral coefficient, I should have a replacement of chain complexes. So, need an integral replacement of chain complexes over C. So you might say this is very easy. We take chain complexes over Z. But this is not what I want to do. I give you a warning, which comes from non-equivariant homotopy theory. So say we have any functor from spaces R. So it should land in abelian groups, but I want to factor over chain complexes. And maybe over Z, doesn't really matter. And here I take cohomology. So if this is a cohomology, so if it's a cohomology theory, it will be ordinary. You cannot get K theory, elliptic homology, and so on. So I should take this with a grain of salt. It's not precisely true as I said this, but if you have some natural axioms on this. So this is not what we want to do because we want to have elliptic homology, and this is not an ordinary theory. So you might say, where was the problem over C? So non-equivalently, every cohomology theory over C is ordinary. So with complex coefficients, complex K theory is, at least for finite spaces, just a version of usual singular cohomology with complex coefficients. But integrally, it's quite a different beast. So, what I would say is the correct analog in this setting is chain complex over C would be spectra. So you might, I'm not sure you know what this means, but you can see, think of this as some fancy version of chain complexes where it can have a factorization like here. For every cohomology theory. But there's a notation difference. So what is here HI is called here I minus I, so it's homotopy groups. But this is, you can just take it as notation. So, and what Louis actually sketches and what we flesh out in a paper with David, let E be again the universal elliptic curve without over C, then the functors EIT factor as these spaces choose a Spectre. On E. And then going to Korean sheets. And moreover, this may be a new ingredient, what David and I did, that if we take the product of two spaces, this goes exactly to the tensor product. So the tensor product is over the value of a point. So, and one remark, one should think of the value at a point as a derived structure. Derived structure sheaf. It's called OE top on E. So in particular, pi zero of OE top is just the user structure sheaf. Other questions about this? So I saw Nitu has asked, does it make sense to ask what the stalks are as spectra? Yeah, I think this makes sense. I mean, I'm not sure I have a very succinct answer to this, but I think this is very much in line to the original constructions by Goinovsky and some other people, where they try to say what the stalk should be and figure out what the whole sheaf should be. Only here it's the other way around. We first have the sheaf, but the stalks are compatible with what Goinovsky constructs, at least on moral level. Does this answer the question, Nita?
I'll just,
I hope so.
It's okay. Are the stalks Annenberg-MacLean spectra? What structure do the stalks have? What kind of spectra? How do you build them? That's more or less what I'm asking.
Oh, these are not Annenberg-MacLean spectra. So it depends also a little bit what we precisely mean by stalks here. Maybe I can answer this a bit better in a few minutes.
Sure, no problem.
Maybe, like, can you say what the stalk of the identity is? Is that easy to say?
I think this is the same value at what we had for ET before. So the stalk and the identity so one has to decide whether one wants to take global sections here or not.
Sorry, I didn't mean to derail. If it was a one-line answer, then that was great, but don't worry about it. Come back to it.
I put in quotes as the completion. Okay, so I say first something else, which I want to say anyhow. So non-equivalently, so we just have a function from spaces. Okay, so let's call it EE because it's a trivial group. So with sheaves of spectra. On the base, which is the modular state of elliptic curves. And with the point goes to something which is often called O top. And the global sections is called TMF, topological model of forms. So why it's called topological model of forms, this is because, yeah, maybe I say something about this. So why topological model of forms? So classically, or semi-classically, model of forms are sections of line bundles. On this guy. So you have some functions on the upper half plane, and they have some behavior with SL2Z. And I'm just a little bit sketchy here in the sense that usually you have a condition what happens to infinity, which I leave out here. So integrally, model of forms. Sections, line bundle, let's give them name, on the modular stack of elliptic curves. Well, because this was modular stack of a C, if we don't want a C, we just use all possible elliptic curves. So, and it turns out that kth homotopy groups of this old top, it's actually omega to the kth tensor power. Thus, the global sections of old top, called TMF, contains all global sections. These things. So more precisely, so this is a spectrum. So we have a map from the homotopy groups TMF to what it's called MFK, kind of modular forms of weight K. And people know what this means. They are weakly holomorphic. So this is not quite an isomorphism, but becomes, so this is becomes iso rationally. But at the primes 2 and 3, it's neither surjective nor injective, but there's a close relationship. So this motivates why it's called topological modular forms. You have one spectrum whose homotopy groups are more or less the modular forms, but contain some extra stuff, which actually comes from the higher cohomology groups of this line bundle. So now I can say something about this stalks. So at least this is a slogan. The stalk. OE top, the identity of E is TMF to the CP infinity. Where identity must be taken with a grain of salt, because the base is not just one point, but there's identity section. From here to here. So I think this is what one can say. And this is certainly not an Einberg-Lane spectrum. It's something of height too. Okay. Are there further questions at this point? Okay. So the spectrum TMF was brought to great use in homotopy theory. Sorry, took the level sections here. So maybe we want to do something similar in the S1 equivariant world. So let me draw a little diagram. So we have this guy ET of some X. This is the covariant sheaf on E, but the covariant sheaf in spectra, whatever this precisely means. So then we can take homotopy groups. And here we have our EI here. So this is a more classical perspective. And if we want, we could also take global sections here. But what we also can do is take global sections here, which is more interesting. So here, we go to spectra again. And then we can go to abelian groups. And what I want to stress is that this here does not commute. So you might ask, what is the more reasonable thing of the two things? And I would say that this thing is more reasonable. So why is this more reasonable than this green guy? So the green composition is not an equivalent cohomology theory. This gamma is not exact. So we know the quite derived functors of global sections are cohomology groups, and certainly covariant sheaves, even like the structure sheaf, can have non-trivial cohomology groups. So it's not a cohomology theory. In contrast, the orange composition forms an equivariant cohomology theory. Target abelian groups. Which is what many topologists are more familiar with than equivalent cohomology theories with values in covariant sheaves on an elliptic curve. So we might ask, the very first question would be, maybe I give this a name. Orange composition is maybe not so good. Let's call this T equivariant TMF of the space I, sorry, space X. So question. So what is this would be maybe the first question you ask. If you cannot compute a point, you cannot compute anything. I mean, it's not quite true, but I just claim this. Okay. So there's an answer. So there's one stupid answer. It's just by definition, pi minus I of global sections of this OE top. So on this theorem by David Gavner and myself says that this global sections are one copy of TMF plus a one-fold shift of TMF. And luckily, pi star of TMF has been completely computed. So I said, rationally, it's just modular forms. But even non-rationally, one knows it completely, although it's quite complicated. So one word of motivation, why you might have expected a result like this. So we're taking the global sections of the structure sheaf of an elliptic curve. So when I take global sections, these are implicitly derived. So let's just forget about topology and just take the usual global sections of the structure sheaf of elliptic curve, and let's just throw it over C, just to make it simple. Say E is an elliptic curve over C. So let's take the global sections, also known as H0. So we all know on a compact Riemann surface, all global sections, all holomorphic global sections are constant. So this is just C. But if you want to have derived global section, you also need H1. So all the whole higher Hi will vanish because it's one dimensional, but we have also H1. And turns out it's also isomorphic to C. So we have two copies of the global sections of the base, C and C. So we might also expect two copies of the base if we take the global sections of this fancy topological universal elliptic curve. And this is what happens. To actually prove it, of course, it's more work. But this is the idea. So are there questions about this?
There's a question about a spectral sequence relating the orange and green compositions.
Yeah, there's one. Maybe I don't write it in this to this diagram. So, what a remark. There's a spectral sequence relating green and orange composition. Namely, so here I have H, here I take EI, T of X. So this is a coherent sheaf on E. And I take the J cohomology group. And this converges. TMF I. Let me just write plus minus j because I confused myself with the pi minus I and h upper I of so you have to certainly not only take global sections but all cohomology groups, and this in this case they can be arbitrarily high, and then compute a spectral sequence. So this is what you would a priori have to do to solve this question here, but luckily we don't have to do it because we can reduce it to a previous spectral sequence calculation. Okay, are there further questions? Okay.
Sorry, there is one more question. It was about whether or not there's this, so in the same commuting square, Is there something like a growth and decay of Berkeley Monrock phenomenon going on here with some correction factor?
I would say no. I think it's a different failure of commutativity than in Gordon Decree Monrock, but at least I cannot think of an analogous result. It's more like a composite. So if we have two derived functors and take the derived functor of the composite, and then with respect to sequence between them, I think it's more like this. So I want to make one comparison with K theory here, which should put this result a little bit into perspective. So I think it's often helpful if you want to think about topological modular forms or elliptic cohomology to go one step back to K theory first. So go back one step. So we can look at the T equivalent K theory of a point. So this is just representation ring. So this is a Laurent polynomial ring. So all we can do is the zero of K theory of the classifying space, which is a power series ring. And it's a base case, so to speak, of the Atiyah-Siegel completion theorem that this is a completion map. So I think X corresponds to T minus one here. So this is different in TMF. So maybe I do this directly in a topological word, a little bit simpler for me to express. So let's define TMF T as global sections of OE top. So pi star TMF T is exactly what I called earlier TMF minus star T of a point. So what I computed above is that this is TMF plus sigma TMF. And here I can write down another spectrum, namely TMF, and take the function spectrum, which I mentioned earlier, the stalk at the identity section. So this is finite over TMF. It's just two copies. But this is infinite. So there's no, this is the right hand side is not a completion of the left hand side. It's much, much bigger. So the whole kind of Atiyah-Siegel style completion thing plays out very differently here. And at the bottom of this is that elliptic curves are not affine schemes, and taking global sections is quite a drastic operation. I lose a lot of information. And I see okay, two further questions. Let me say something about this in a moment, because I want to make one more comment about this map here. So say, let me be on the level of heuristics here to make it slightly easier. So say I have a closed manifold with a T action. So, and let's say this map, this is string. So we might hope that we get from this a class, class n. These things. This would be a T equivalent written genus. On the other hand, such a manifold, what I can also do, I can produce a map to be T. A manifold, the map. And to this, I would associate something here by the Witten genus. So that this map here is very far from completion map says something about this situation. So say I'm working rationally. So if working rationally, it's concentrated in even degrees. If the tensor with Q. Okay. So this sits in an odd degree. This is a one-fold shift. The suspension. So this would completely go to zero. So rationally, this goes to zero. So rationally, this would factor over pi I of TMF. And I've written this maybe in a very unusual way, but you might see as an analog of the rigidity of the Witten genus. So the Witten genus, the equivalent Witten genus, one formulation that takes values in something like this, but then we observe by a diagram like this that actually it comes from the non-equivariant guy. And in some sense, this is an argument like this, although in slightly different language, is behind the equivariant elliptic cohomology proof of rigidity given by Roshu about 20 years ago. So this is about something about this connection. Okay, and before I answer more questions, I want to make one more remark. So instead, taking usual global sections of OE top, I can also allow poles at the unit section, the identity. Then I look at something which I might call topological Jacobi forms. Because at least in the convention I'm most familiar with, Jacobi forms are functions on the universal elliptic curve where we allow poles at the identity of arbitrary order. And this is also something we can form. And it turns out this is another kind of T-fixed points of TMF. So here, this in the language of equivalent homotopy theory, these are T-fixed points of a T-spectrum TMF. And here, this would be a variant of geometric fixed points of the T-spectrum TMF. So I think this is everything I wanted to say about the talk proper. So now I would be open for questions.
Let's thank Leonard. And there are some questions in the chat already, Leonard. So let's see. So first, what kind of groups can be accommodated in the theory?
Okay. So let me say something. So can we place T easily by other abelian groups? So if we think about correspondence, for T, I had coherent sheaves on the universal elliptic of E. If I take the n toes, then I would have the n-fold product of E, whose size I should take the product over the modular stack elliptic curve. And if I, for example, take Z mod n here, I would associate the n torsion of the elliptic curve. So, or more generally, if I have some general formula, would be I take homomorphisms from the Pontryagin dual of A to E. So you see, if T is the circle, the Pontryagin dual are the integers. So homomorphism and integers don't do anything. If I have the n-fold product of the circle, I get Z to the n, so I get an n-fold product of E. So you can do definitions also for non-abelian groups, but so this becomes much more complicated. So a priori, one can define this in a very abstract way, what comes as a result, but then it becomes extremely hard to calculate, and it's not quite clear whether it's a correct result. So one might say this is now at the level of more like, this is not proven, and I also don't want to formulate this precisely. Sloan would be UN should correspond to degree N divisors on E. So it's a kind of Hilbert scheme or something like this. But yeah, I don't think that, I mean, it's much harder to make this theory precise and do the necessary computation than the abelian case. But some things can be said, but this is still in a very immature form, at least in what is available. While over the complex numbers, we have, for example, by Gronowski or by the thing by Berwick, Evans, and Tripathi, where this is done for arbitrary compact Lie groups with integral coefficients, much more complicated. Actually, especially for finite groups.
There's another question from Nitu about whether or not one can think of the shifted TMF as one forms on T with values in TMF.
I think the answer may be no, because if we take TMF, so while differently, not to too confusing, the function spectrum from the circle to TMF, this would be TMF as a minus one fold shift of TMF. So in this sense, it's different. But of course, it's related to this. Maybe it's, one should more say it's, one should take the dual of this. So then, so maybe it's, I mean, one could maybe view it as TMF smashed the circle.
And a question from Theo, does the Attias-Siegel completion picture hold at the level of coherent sheaves before taking global sections?
Yeah, the answer is yes. So how to say this? So let me formulate it like this. So we can take the completion of the elliptic curve at the identity section. So it's now not the Pontryagin dual, but the completion. and this would be spiff. So I guess it should be at the top.
Spiff.
So I might like it, write it like this. So if I
spiff.
So we'll take the completion of the elliptic curve at the identity section. One gets a structure sheaf of the base to the CP infinity. So in this sense, one can say actually it holds on the level of covariant sheaves or on the more geometric level. This is actually a key feature of the whole theory. Actually, it also goes into the construction and all the kind of properties.
Yeah. So then Jack had another question. I think this is a follow-up to the general G question. Is there a moduli space of principal G bundles over elliptic curves?
Yeah, I think.
And this might be related to your finite group comment, for example.
Yeah, I think one has to be a little bit careful what one means outside of the complex world. For example, G is first a compact Lie group, but the moduli stack of elliptic curves or this universal elliptic curves compete in the world of algebraic geometry. So one cannot directly take something like a G principal bundle. So if G is some nice connected compact Lie group, as an associated algebraic group, and one can look at principles over this, but it's not a priori not completely clear whether this is the correct thing to consider. I mean, morally, the answer is certainly yes, but there might be look very similar, but are without complex coefficients actually different.
I don't like where this is going.
So, Doug, you're unmuted. I'm not sure if that's intentional. So then there's a question, let's see, from Jeremy about whether or not the TMF plus the shift of TMF is a square zero extension of the infinity rings.
Yeah, so I've considered this question before. I don't know the answer.
Okay, so any more questions for Leonard? Did I miss any in the chat? Okay, so again, we'll have a discussion after this. There'll be a breakout room as well. If you want to join the breakout room, you should message either Theo or myself, and we can put you in the breakout room. I think you'll be able to see the participants. But let's thank Leonard one more time.